This morning is a special morning for me personally. Today, I get to baptize my youngest son. Doesn't seem like long ago I baptized my oldest son. And so it's a real privilege for me to do that for you, Cordell, this morning. But not just Cordell. The other six of you are pretty special too. Trenton, Tyler, Laurel, Joelle, Caitlin, and Kelsey. Yeah, we're just really excited to be here to share in the service with you guys this morning. You know, as the ministry team started teaching your class, we began to realize that you are serious about your faith, that you really do take this commitment to Christ really seriously. And it is a real pleasure to welcome you into our fellowship here at Life this morning as we do baptism with you today. This past week, I had the privilege of being on a boat. We did a little float from Juneau, Alaska to Sitka, Alaska. And I got to see a lot of whales, hundreds of them. And we saw some killer whales and we saw some humpback whales. But one thing about a whale, if you see their tail come out of the water, and you'll just see their tail out of the water, and they go down, they're going down for a long time. It's called a fluke. So these whales, they'll come up and they'll be at the top for a while and you see them spouting. And then they'll fluke and they'll go down and make a deep dive. Today you guys are making a deep dive. But it's not a fluke. Okay? Christ isn't a fluke. What you're doing today is real. Your commitment that you made to Christ is real. It changed your hearts. It changed your lives. So while you will be deep diving, it's not a fluke. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. This is a story of where John the Baptist comes to baptize Jesus. Sometimes you might think, well, why do we even need baptism? Doesn't the Bible say that if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with my whole heart, then I'm one of his followers? Yes, it is. So why do we even do baptism? Well, let's look a little bit at some scripture that talks about why baptism. This passage says this: Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Could never figure that out, why you would question the Son of God, what he once done. Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You know, one of the things that I think is a good reason for baptism is Jesus did it. He gave us an example to follow. What did Jesus have to have been baptized? No, he was the Son of God. But he showed us through his example that baptism is just a cementing your relationship with the Father, just like Jesus was cementing that relationship. And if you look at Jesus' life later, he had to rely on that relationship heavily. He had to face death, a real relationship tester. But yet his commitment was strong to Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Don't often think of this as a verse about baptizing, but it really is. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Another reason why baptism is important, it's commanded here by God. It says, go and be baptized and baptize others. So it is an important command from God, or an ordinance as we know it. An ordinance, as we think of an ordinance today, an ordinance is like a law of the state. It's something that you need to do. This is God or Christ telling us that we need to baptize and we need to baptize others. And that's what we're doing today. We are commanded to keep teaching and baptizing. You know, something really cool, as you look at baptism, it sort of brings, more than sort of does, it brings the Trinity together. You know, nowhere in the scripture do you see the word Trinity, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You never see the word Trinity. But here, it makes it very clear that there's three parts of the Godhead. In chapter 28, verse 19, it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you turn back to the passage I just read about Jesus' baptism, you see three parts of the Godhead at that baptism. First of all, you see Jesus asking for baptism. Then you see God the Father, what does he say? He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and rests on Jesus' shoulder. So right there you see the three areas of the Godhead at Jesus' baptism. You know, today, I really want you to experience the Trinity of God. I want you to feel the Father's love for you, his acceptance, no matter who you think you are, no matter what deficiencies you think you have, no matter how scared you are. I want you to feel the Father's love and acceptance of who you are. Not someone else, but who you are. I want you to feel the Son's sacrifice, what he had to do, what he had to endure to forgive your sins. I want you to feel that this morning. But I also want you to feel his forgiveness. I've been forgiven many times in my life. And the times that I've received forgiveness, as hard as it was to ask for forgiveness, there's no better feeling than having that relationship restored again. And that's what Christ has done for each one of us. He's given us that forgiveness. I also want you to feel the Holy Spirit this morning. I want you to feel his comfort. I want you to feel his strength. I want you to feel him give you words to speak, to proclaim his name boldly. So I want you to experience the Trinity of God this morning. Another point on why baptism. I think baptism is a public stand symbolizing our commitment to God. And I think this is why Jesus got baptized. It was a public symbol that he is going to do as his Father directs him. It's a visible sign. You know, in our country, in 1776, there was a piece of paper signed. It was the Declaration of Independence. And one of those people, his signature is very prominent on there, John Hancock. He doesn't write it like so that people couldn't know his name. He writes it in big, beautiful script writing, John Hancock. And he declared to the world that day that the United States was independent. In many ways, that's what you guys are doing. You already signed your baptismal certificate in there. But more than that, you're proclaiming to this packed out tent that you are committed to God thoroughly. So you are declaring it is a public stand of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want this baptism to be a reminder to you. I don't want you to forget about it. I don't want after today just it doesn't mean anything. But I want you to, even when you're 47 like I am, I want you to look back at the day you're baptized and realize what Christ has done for you. I want it to be a constant reminder. I want you to think of how Christ died. And when Christ died, you died a little bit too. That's what sin does. When he was buried, you were buried. But when he arose, you arose with a new life. It tells us that we're part of a new people. It tells us that we are no longer buried by the sin of Adam, but we are subject unto life because of Jesus' sacrifice. The next thing I want to look at this morning is what baptism portrays. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Going to be reading a few verses from chapter 5 and then go into chapter 6 as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. I'll be reading into chapter 6. Says this, the law was brought in so that trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized unto his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. What baptism portrays. One of the things that baptism portrays when we go underneath the water, it portrays that we're dying to sin. It portrays that we're dying to sin. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So is today the last day you're going to sin? Based on my track record, no. But you need to continually die to sin. Just as it signifies when we baptize you, you're going under the water, you're burying your sin and rising with Christ. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 say, are we going to just go on sinning because we know God has enough grace? And I like how he responds. He says, by no means do we just go on sinning because we know we can ask forgiveness for it. That's not what God is calling us to at all. You know, when I'm sick in my stomach, this is a crude illustration, but when I'm sick to my stomach and I vomit, do I just stay in that sin? No, I get out of it. I get away from it. I flush the toilet. I'm done with that. All right? I want you to know that the nails that Jesus had through his hands, I want you to know that the teasing and the jesting that he took on, I want you to know that the torture of the cross was for you guys. It was for me. It wasn't for somebody else. Actually, there's a tentful of people that disagree with that statement. When we are baptized, it signifies to these witnesses that we are burying our sins and we have no plans to dig them up and dabble with them. The second thing that baptism portrays, it portrays a new life in Christ. Just as Christ arose from the dead, you know, when Christ arose from the dead, things changed. Things changed. You know, when you're under the water, you can't breathe. You can't. A whale can't even breathe underwater. You got to come up and breathe at the top. You can't breathe down there. You can't live in sin. It destroys you. But when Jesus arose, things changed. And that's what, when you come out of the water, things change. You have hope. You have grace. You have peace. My third point this morning is on believers' baptism. Colossians chapter 2:12. I'd like you to turn to that passage of scripture. Yep. Colossians 2:12. Says this: having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I want you to think about your believer's baptism today. There's three things I want you to really remember from today. Today you're making a promise. Number one, you're making a promise to God that you're who I'm following. It's not something that comes along, but it's you who I'm following. The second thing is, I want to challenge you with something. So we had your promise into God, but I want to challenge you to keep sin buried. Not buried from other people, but buried before God. Okay? Too many times we can bury sin from people, but it's still there. You know what I'm talking about. You're the only one that knows about it. Not quite. I want you to bury it from God, because God knows everything. And we totally bury sin, it's gone. It's buried. It's over. And the third thing is a sign. Your baptism today is a sign that you have new life. You have hope. You have redemption. So this morning, as we move into baptism, I'm excited to hear your testimonies and to participate in this service with you today. So this morning we looked at why baptism, and we learned that Christ commanded it and also did it as an example for us to follow. And we also realize that this is a declaration of our commitment to Christ. We also looked at what baptism portrays, that we're dead to sin, but we also are alive to Christ. And finally, we looked at three parts of a believer's baptism: our promise to God, our challenge to keep sin buried, and it's also a sign that we have new life. So the seven people in this front row this morning, we welcome you into our fellowship. As a congregation, we couldn't be more excited to bring you in. I've appreciated hearing who you guys are in Christ. I've appreciated your thoughts, your discussion, and your commitment to him. Thanks for choosing him. you'll never regret it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you so much that you are the giver of life, even after we experience death. And Lord, I pray that each one of these this morning would be thoughtful about the promise that they're making to you, that they would take seriously the challenge to keep sin buried, and also that this would be a sign that they have new life. But Lord, not just these seven people in the front row, but I pray that each one of us would take seriously and consider our baptism and what that has meant in our life. And we take our vows seriously to your cause to follow you closely. Pray this in your name. Amen.